Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study, everybody. Happy New Year! And as we leave this old year and enter the new year, I want to ask you a very important question. How will you leave this world and enter the next world? I saw a funny bumper sticker. I want to die peacefully in my sleep like Grandpa, not yelling and screaming like the people in the car he was driving. You get it? He died at the wheel. Well, you know, I just did a funeral. I preached at a funeral. And this man was told, you've got 6 weeks to live. And he did. So he had time to talk to God, etc. But other funerals I preach, boom, they're gone in a split second. How will you leave this world? So I was talking to a teenager. And she says, well, you know, I think I'll become a Christian someday. And when I'm older, I think I'll, but you know, I'm young. I want to have fun first. And then later in life, I'll become a Christian. And I said to her, you've made two mistakes. Mistake number one, you're assuming the devil is fun and God isn't. Just the opposite. And I said, mistake number two, you don't know when you're going to go. There's an old saying, he who waits till midnight to repent often dies at 11:30. So we have a rather important sermon today. How will you leave this world? Let's pray before we begin. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who does not know where they're going to spend eternity, that they would come to Christ and have that assurance from this day forth. We ask you to speak to us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How will you leave this world? Let me share how some famous people left this world. Famous last words, Voltaire, famous French philosopher and atheist. I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. Charles V, King of France. Charles IX, King of France. What blood, what murders, what counsels I have followed in evil. I am lost. I see it well. Thomas Hobbes, an English skeptic, I am taking a fearful leap in the dark. Thomas Paine, American revolutionary and an enemy of the Christian faith. O Lord, help me. Christ, help me. O God, what have I done to suffer so much? But there is no God. But if there were, what will become of me hereafter? If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. You can die that way. A lot of people do. Or you can die this way. Martin Luther's on his deathbed. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. Into your hands I commit my spirit. God of truth, you have redeemed me. William Shakespeare wrote this in his will. In the name of God, amen. I, William Shakespeare, in perfect health and memory, God be praised, do make and ordain this my last will and testament. First, I commend my soul into the hands of God, my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing through the only merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord, to be made a partaker of life everlasting. And one more, J.P. Morgan, American millionaire, in his will. I commit my soul into the hands of my Savior in full confidence that having redeemed it and washed it in His most precious blood, He will present it faultless before the throne of my Heavenly Father. Two very different ways to die. And the question I'm asking you to ponder is, how will you leave this planet? So one day I was at the church office, the phone rings. Pastor Brock, would you come visit my atheist husband? He's dying. And this was a dear woman of our church. And I drove over to their house, and here is her husband on a hospital bed in the living room. And I pull my chair up, and I say, well, Mr. So-and-so, doesn't look like you've got much time, but, you know, just let me explain the most important thing in the world. And that is, we're all sinners. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. But God loved us so much. He came down from heaven, became a human being. His name was Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. He died for our sins to pay for our sins. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And Mr. So-and-so, if you are sorry for your sin and come to Christ and trust in him, you'll be forgiven and go to heaven when you die. And I said to him, would you like to pray and receive Christ? And he looked at me and he said, no. And then I'll never forget, his wife got on her knees next to his bed, held his hands, and begged him to receive Christ. And he said, no. And he died. You can go out of this planet that way. Lots of people do. But then I got another phone call. And this lady says, well, Pastor Brock, you don't know us, but we watch your TV show. And my husband's an atheist, but he likes you, and he's dying. Would you be willing to come to our house and talk to him? And I said, well, let me call you back. And I hung up the phone, and I prayed because I didn't know where they lived, and just I can't handle all these things. But it was like the Lord said, go. So I called her, yeah, I'm coming. Well, it turns out they live 2 blocks from my church. I got to walk there. I went right over to their house, and I walked into their home, and here is her husband kind of crumpled up in the wheelchair. And first thing he says, as I remember, well, I don't know if I believe in the Trinity. And I said, well, the Bible teaches there's only one God, but in God are 3 eternal persons, God the Father who made us, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. And then I said to him, you know, it sounds like you may not be alive much longer. Can I share with you how you can know your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven instead of hell when you die? And he said yes. And I read through to him a little salvation pamphlet on how to be saved. And at the end of it, it says, would you like to pray and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the man said, you know, I would. And so he prayed and received Christ, and shortly thereafter, he was dead. My question for you is, how are you going to leave this planet? Like man number one or man number two? What you do with Jesus Christ in this life determines where you spend all eternity. I'm going to show a picture that I have hanging on the wall of my house. I got this at a thrift store. Here is the famous picture of Jesus standing at the door of your heart and knocking. This comes from Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him. And that's what that man in the wheelchair did. He accepted Christ into his heart. But there's a story. There's a story that there was a Christian lady going door to door with a postcard of that picture, handing them out in the neighborhood, inviting people to come to church. She knocked on one door and a man answered, can I give you this picture of Jesus knocking on the door as a gift? And I'm encouraging you, would you come to church this Sunday? Well, the man took the picture. He was raised in the church but had left it many years before. But he thought, well, I'll put it on the refrigerator. That night at dinner, little girl, Daddy, who is that man? And why is he knocking on that door? He didn't really want to talk about it, so he kind of ignored it. Well, now, Daddy, who is that man? And why is he knocking on that door? Well, honey, that man is Jesus Christ. Now let's eat dinner. And they, a little bit later, oh, okay, Daddy, but why is he knocking on that door? Well, honey, that's the door of your heart, and Jesus wants to come into your heart. Right. So they kept eating. And finally, the little girl, Daddy, why don't they let him in? And that question so got to the Father. They were in church the next Sunday. Where are you at with the Lord? Have you let Jesus come into your heart? Are you trusting him for your salvation? I will tell you my pet peeve. It's when I go to a funeral and the pastor or the priest says, well, we know Mr. So-and-so is in heaven because he was a good man. And I go, ah, Jesus said, no one is good. Most people think you get to heaven by being good. Good luck. Nobody's good. We're sinners. This is what's called the good news, the gospel. Listen carefully to this. Up here is heaven. Heaven is God's perfect home. If you want to get into heaven when you die, you have to be just like God, absolutely perfect. And this, my billfold will say, symbolizes sin. God won't let sin into heaven. If he did, you'd have hatred, murder, crime, rape, abortion, pornography. It'd be America all over again. So God doesn't let sin into heaven. And this hand represents you and me, a typical human being. The problem is we are all loaded with sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed daily. We deserve hell. That's the bad news. Here's the good news, the gospel. 2,000 years ago, God came down from heaven and God became a human being. His name was Jesus Christ. He lived on earth about 33 years. He didn't sin once because he was God. On a Good Friday, about 30 AD or so, he goes and he takes our sins off of us and he carries our sins on his back up to the cross. They put nails through his hands and feet, and all the sins that you and I deserve to get punished for, he took our punishment for us. He paid for our sins so we could be forgiven before God the Father. It killed him. Our sins are buried with Christ. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He goes back to heaven, and God promises you now, no matter what sins you may have committed, if you will turn to Christ and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you're going to heaven. That's called the good news, the gospel. You can be forgiven of horrible sins. You can go to heaven instead of hell when you die. But it all determines on one factor. What are you doing with Jesus Christ? How will you leave this world, with him or without him? I'm going to share one last Bible verse, 1 John 5:13. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So I want to close this sermon, again, just putting it to you. Where are you at with Christ? How will you leave this world? I'm going to sing an old hymn. And while I sing this hymn, I want you just to meditate upon this picture, this old picture. Think about the words of this old hymn and where you're at with God. Here's the old hymn about this painting. O Jesus, thou art standing outside the fast closed door. In lowly patience waiting to cross the threshold o'er. O love that passeth knowledge, so patiently to wait. O sin that hath no equal, so fast to bar the gate. O Jesus, thou art knocking, and lo, that hand is scarred, and thorns thy brow encircle, and tears thy face have marred. Shame on us, Christian brethren, his name and sign who bear. O shame, thrice shame upon us to keep him standing there. O Jesus, thou art knocking, and lo, that hand is scarred. And now Jesus is pleading, although his face is marred.
And Jesus, thou art pleading in accents meek and low. I died for you, my children, and will ye treat me so? O Lord, with shame and sorrow, we open now the door. Dear Savior, enter, and leave us nevermore.
So, how will you leave this planet? With him or without him? Where you spend eternity is dependent on that. And what I preached at that funeral recently, I said, everybody, make sure you open the door of your heart to Christ and receive him and trust him as your Savior. But then I said this, make sure you keep the door of your heart opened. And I mean by that, go to church every week. Keep your heart open to Christ. Because some people pray the prayer and they ask Jesus in and they never follow up. You need to not just open the door, but keep the door of your heart open to Christ. Trust in him. Find a good church. And as you leave this old year, happy new year to the next, I want you to have a happy eternity. Come to Christ and trust in him. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question is from a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
I now have stage 4 cancer. I want to go back to church, and I don't know where to go. I was raised non-denominational and cannot believe in once saved, always saved. Could you help me find a church and pray for my cancer? Cancer has been good for me. You find out who cares when things go bad.
And I responded to her. I did pray for her. And so now she needs to find a good church. And of course, you want to stay away from the cults, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Christian Science, the Unity Church, the Unitarian Church, and some of the very liberal denominations that used to be good that have gone cult-like. Mm-hmm. But we talk about that on the show. The whole thing about once saved, always saved, let's talk about that some other show, because there are sincere Christians on both sides of that question. Mm-hmm. But she wants to find a good Bible-believing church. If she's going to go Lutheran, I'd go Missouri Synod Lutheran or Free Lutheran or Wisconsin. I'd stay away from the liberal ELCA Lutheran. If you go Presbyterian, I go Presbyterian Church in America. I wouldn't go PCUSA, which is also pretty unbiblical these days. And so you got to pray, you got to seek it out and find out what their statement of faith is. When I go to a church, I look at their website. Do they believe in the Trinity? Do they believe that we're saved by grace alone and not good works? Do they believe in heaven and hell and that Christ is the only Savior? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe also get some prayer warriors.
Yeah, get people praying for it. And you know, if she's to the point where she can't get out, mm-hmm. hopefully she should. I mean, a lot of Lutheran churches, they'll come out. I used to go out to the shut-ins and give them communion, and mm-hmm. a lot of pastors will do that.
Okay.
So
here's another letter from a viewer. If I am cremated and ashes are scattered, what will happen to my body when Christian believers are taken up and receive their new body? Will I become whole again? Will I be able to be reunited with family and friends?
Yeah, everybody is going to disintegrate. I mean, even if you're not cremated, mm-hmm. I don't know how it works, but are people 500 years ago, are they still intact? I don't know. But the Bible talks about the sea giving up the dead mm-hmm. in it. So people that were buried at sea and are totally disintegrated, God will put them back together. So yes, if you get cremated, God will indeed put you back together. And again, I'll quote the person who said that people think that's crazy. Why do people who think God made us to begin with have trouble believing he can put us back together?
Amen.
So there we go. Yep.
What is the baptism of the dead in 1 Corinthians 15:29?
Yeah, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, there's kind of, Paul's talking about the resurrection of the body, and there's kind of a strange passage, and Paul writes this in verse 29. He's insisting, look, people are going to be raised from the dead, and the false teachers are saying, no, they're not. And Paul says, well, otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them?
This appears nowhere else in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't say here that he believes in baptism for the dead. He just says some of you are doing that at Corinth. Well, why do that if you don't believe in the resurrection? Mm-hmm. So he's not endorsing it, but it's a strange passage. The Mormons make a doctrine out of it, and they get baptized for dead people. I went to a Mormon tabernacle once, and they were insistent that I signed the guest book. I think that's because they wanted to get baptized for me. They get baptized for the dead. No, you yourself get baptized. You don't get baptized for somebody else.
Did you sign it?
I can't remember. There you go.
All right. Homosexuality is common in the animal kingdom. This behavior is common at about the 10% level and appears to have a genetic component. It would seem that either you or the Bible are at war with God's design.
And yeah, and this is one of our liberal viewers who doesn't like the fact that I think homosexual behavior is a sin. And he says, look, it occurs in nature, so it must be okay. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. The black widow spider kills her husband after she has sex with it. Can I do that? Can you kill your husband after you have sex with it? I mean, just be, and you know, look at how tigers pull apart, you know, lions or whatever. Just because something happens in the animal kingdom does not mean that we human beings should do the same thing. When Adam and Eve fell, the whole creation fell with them. So now you see things in the animal kingdom that are messed up. And in Romans 8 it says when God restores things at the second coming, he's going to restore the whole creation. So I don't think the fact, and when he says it's genetic, that has not been, even the liberal people on homosexuality in the psychology world, and there's lots of them, most of them, even they cannot say, yeah, we found a gay gene, because nobody ever has. You hear that on TV a lot, but it's, I mean, Psychology Today, I don't think would even say that.
So it hasn't been proven?
No, no.
Okay.
Okay, yep.
I agree with everything you preach. That said, I can't reconcile sexuality. God made you and me who we are. We are not to be frustrated and miserable. We are to be who we are. We are homosexuals. God does not hate us. You are a good man. You are a holy man. How about being happy and content in who you are? How about being a homosexual? I'm waiting for you.
Well, he saw our show where I told my story that my struggle in life has been this pull towards same-sex attraction, but I say no to it. And he says, say yes to it. No, thank you. I don't want that. 1 Corinthians 6 says that those who live in that lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I wrote this man back, and I said, no, I'm not going to join you. But I said to him, because he claims to be a Christian, I said, you can't be a practicing homosexual and a Christian. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And he wrote me back, oh, you're so angry. And I don't think God hates me. Where does he get that? I mean, so we the old saying, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. We need to do that to ourselves. I need to love me, but I need to hate the things in me that are offending God and hurting myself. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you affirm Catholicism as if it is part of the Christian faith?
You know, Mona, I used, for about 10 years, I did a call-in radio show. And on days that it was getting kind of slow and nobody was calling in, if I brought up one of three subjects, the phones would light up, people calling in. One subject was baptism. The other subject was predestination. And the third subject was Catholicism. And people either are all on board with Catholicism or all against it. Yesterday I was talking to a Lutheran friend of mine, pastor friend, and I said, Leon, how would you answer this question? Is the Catholic Church a Christian church or is it a cult? And he said, of course it's a Christian church. But I can tell you of a certain Baptist preacher on TV, he'd say, of course it's a cult. I'm going to give you my take on this. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Protestant. I couldn't be a Catholic. Purgatory, indulgences, praying to the saints, scapulars, I can't go there. I think there's some things that are very troublesome in the Catholic Church. Therefore, I cannot become a Catholic. That doesn't mean there aren't true Christians in the Catholic Church. And they do believe in the Trinity. They believe Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. They add this other stuff that is troubling to me, but there you go. Yeah.
What do I say to Catholics who say that Jesus left us the church? He did not leave us the Bible, and it was the church that gave us the Bible. I unfortunately do not have a very favorable view of the Catholic Church.
Okay, so stop there first of all.
Okay.
This is, Catholics like to teach that we need the church because the church gave us the Bible. And Jesus didn't give us the Bible because it wasn't around quite then, the New Testament, but he gave us the church. Well, I want to half agree with that. I do believe Jesus gave us the church. I don't want to disagree with that. Hallelujah, he gave us the church. Mm-hmm. But did the church give us the Bible, or did the Bible give us the church? The New Testament is the apostolic preaching. It's what the apostles went around the Roman Empire preaching, the converted people that started the church. So you could argue the apostolic preaching is what started the church. Now, it's true. Later, the ancient church came up with the canon, the list of the proper New Testament books. That's true. But I think both are kind of true. There you go.
Okay, I'll read the rest of her question.
Yeah.
My husband's parents have been going to Catholic Church for over 70 years, and they still do not know if they are saved.
I know. And see, that's my concern with the Catholic Church, too. I hope I'm saved, mm-hmm. and sometime hope I'm good enough. Well, mm-hmm. we're not saved by our goodness. We're saved by the cross of Christ, period. So that's where my concern is with the Catholic Church. Do they clearly preach we're saved by grace alone and not by our good works? Mm-hmm. Now, the Lutheran Church was built on Luther, as he was a Catholic monk. And 500 years ago, he rediscovers that we're saved by grace, not by good works, by reading the Bible. The Lutheran Church is built on salvation by grace alone because it's the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of Lutherans who think they're getting to heaven by being good. So this doesn't really matter what denomination you're in so much as who are you trusting for your salvation? You and your goodness, good luck, or Christ alone for your salvation?
Amen.
Yeah. And Mona, we've only got a minute left. So why don't you ask the bottom question there, because that's a quick one.
Which one?
I know someone.
I don't have that.
You know what? We're supposed to sing.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mona. We got 51 seconds. Well, let me do a quick little update, everybody. Thank you so much for praying for our television program. Your prayers mean a lot to us. We get a lot of mail of people pray for us. Some of them say we pray every day for your ministry. So we thank you for that. Do pray for our ministry. We just got kicked off of a TV station because they didn't like my conservative views on homosexuality and transgenderism. So they just booted us off. So pray that we won't get censorship. Pray we don't get lawsuits. Pray the money comes in so we can keep being on all these stations mm-hmm. all over the country. And there's our address if you want to support us or if you want to watch our TV shows. They're all there for free at pastorstudy.org.
And Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever."
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.